Stories from California Cattle Country is produced by the California Cattlemen's Foundation. It receives support from the California Cattle Council. We've created this podcast for those wanting to connect with the people and practices of far-flung ranches and dairies throughout California through hearing stories from and learning more about the families in cattle country. It's fair season. Growing up in Northern California, my go-to fair was the California State Fair. After visiting year after year, I mistakenly thought that this fair was a template for every other fair in the state. Maybe also assuming that the fact that it was the fair for the entire state, maybe it was the most grandiose. To me, the fair experience included perusing fair rides, but not riding them. Seeking out the novelty deep-fried item of the year. Could it be deep-fried Twinkies or ice cream, mac and cheese balls, cheesecake, pickles, deviled eggs, mashed potatoes, maybe even beer, and not eating any of them. I'd also walk the midway examining the games of chance while not playing them, and avoiding getting harangued by a hoarse-voiced clown in a dunk tank. Maybe even perhaps coming darn close to buying some Ginsu knives, or a slap chop. All of these avoided activities also occurring in the relentless Sacramento summer heat. To be honest, other than prime people watching, I didn't see the point. Last week I attended the Mid-State Fair in Paso Robles, which I think qualifies as my first authentic fair experience. Per Wikipedia, a fair is a gathering of people for a variety of entertainment and commercial activities. Fairs are typically temporary, with scheduled times lasting from an afternoon to several weeks. Fairs showcase a wide range of goods, products, and services. Fairs could be thematic, focusing on specific industries or interests. Now, historically, fairs, particularly county fairs, are public agricultural shows with exhibits and activities communicating and celebrating all things relating to agriculture and animal husbandry. This is not to say that the California State Fair doesn't have activities or exhibits related to agriculture. They do. It's just not at the forefront. Where county fairs are the norm, the state fair is more an exception to the rule. The Mid-State Fair is about agriculture and the agricultural community first and foremost. In fact, the carnival rides and deep fryers remain dormant until agricultural activities are concluded for the day. When I arrived at the fair, the Industrial Arts Award and auction were underway. Industrial Arts is basically all of the high school shop classes rolled into one, on steroids. In the large covered corral where the auction was being held, there was a few dozen high school age students sitting next to their various creations with an audience of a few hundred people seated in bleachers on either side. Now, when I say creations, some might picture wooden letter holders, macrame wall hangings, or sculptures of welded horseshoes. What these kids built is kind of hard to imagine. There was a massive tow-behind barbecue trailer, a masterfully crafted bedroom set with wood inlays, various dining sets, and a bassinet atop a chest of drawers. The quality of the craftsmanship and the innovation in the designs is hard to describe in this medium. Fortunately, there are pictures of some of those items on our page at calcattlecouncil.org. The quality of these items can also be evidenced by the fact that they sold for thousands of dollars, with many eclipsing $10,000. My purpose for the visit was to highlight the importance of this county fair to the next generation of agricultural professionals, specifically those still in elementary, middle, or high school. In this episode, we speak with Ulysses Garcia, a 17-year-old who spent the last 10 months restoring a circa 1949 Farmall tractor to its original factory condition. We also speak with Kiara Storneta, an 11-year-old at the fair to auction a steer and a heifer she raised. I'm Ryan Donahue, and this is Stories from California Cattle Country. When I first met Ulysses, he and the other competitors were meticulously polishing their already gleaming vehicles. They were comparing polishing techniques, brands of polishing towels, and were eager to point out smudges on each other's tractors. Judging had already occurred, so there's no competitive reason for making the vehicle show ready, other than the pride that they have for their projects. The group have gathered to prepare the tractors to be moved to a public area for viewing. During judging, it's imperative that the tractors start on the first try. Most of the tractors have electric starters, which greatly aids in this process. However, one of the tractors lacked the electric starter and instead needed to be started by a hand crank. This tractor proved to be a bit more fussy to get it going, and a handful of competitors surrounded the tractor as if it was on an operating table to assist in any way that they could. The tractor was soon running, and the profession snaked down the midway at 5 miles an hour, to much fanfare. After all the tractors were parked, Ulysses and I sat down to speak.
So my name is Ulysses Garcia. I'm a student at Paso Robles High School, and I'm 17 years old. This tractor, I had many mentors. I had Eric Steiger helping out with the majority of it, Isaac Lewis. I also had Tom Stainbrook from Rainbow Auto Bodies. I have had many people help me out with this tractor.
The reason we're introducing this is that, I mean, even me, I've been with cattlemen for 2 years. I don't come from agriculture, but I've been to a lot of fairs and I've never seen anything like this. And I was quite surprised because it seems like such a huge, daunting project. You know, raising animals is one thing, but this is pretty unique. Can you explain to someone who's never heard of before what this program is, what exactly you did?
So this program is called the Tractor Restoration Education Program. It's for high school kids from freshman year to senior year can restore a tractor. And basically, so what you're doing is you're getting a tractor that it wasn't made after 1980. So with tractors before that, you can restore them. And we're getting tractors that are probably not the best looking, not they don't run. They're just completely, they're just trash practically at some point. And you're given 10 months to restore it and make it look pretty and run through all that, and also make a book to help tell the judges what you did through this. So you're practically just getting something old and fixing it and just giving a presentation on it and a deeper explanation on a book.
Is this the first time that you've participated in the program?
So this is my second year. My first year, I restored a 1940 49N. This year, I'm restoring a 1949 Farmall H.
As far as the tractor goes, did you just have it or did you have to go and find it? And was it one that you chose or someone assigned it to you?
So last year, my tractor came. JB Dewar, the people that put on Trip, they helped me find the tractor. And last year was super easy to find a tractor. This year, I had bigger issues finding a tractor since they have a tractor lot here in Paso. But they don't have a lot of good tractors here or tractors that you want. And it wasn't what I was looking for. So this year, I did take some time to find a tractor, but my dad had some buddies in the wine industry that did know people that had tractor, and I ended up getting my tractor probably in September from a gentleman named Richard Peter Morgantini.
What kind of shape was it in?
I mean, this tractor was, last year's wasn't so bad, but this year's, I mean, this was horrible. I mean, I found water in my transmission. There was a rat in the clutch housing. When I first got her, it did not run at all. So, I mean, and there was dirt everywhere. And it was bad. I mean, I've seen kids where they restore like these pieces of junk and make them emblems. And I always thought, how do you do that? And then through this tractor, I could see, hey, this was a piece of junk that could be made through that.
What is the approach? I haven't worked on cars even. Do you first, you know, take it apart and then work on certain parts? How does that work?
So usually this depends on the student. If it's your first year, you should go light and easy. But if it's your second year, you go for hard. For me, I went through some things before this tractor to make me, hey, I want to go through everything. But usually it's what the person wants to do. Like, hey, I want to go through every part and learn about it. Or it's like, hey, the tractor needs a tune-up. It needs to change out a bearing and the transmission. Or it just depends on the student itself. But usually it depends on the tractor as well.
You also do the body work as well, right?
Yes, sir.
Part of the project is that you guys maintain a logbook, right? Or a book that explains the journey. What is in that book exactly? Because I saw some and they're very, very thick. They're
so gigantic. Through the entire book or just the log journey? So through the entire book, it contains 12 sections. Engine, transmission, final drive, auxiliary system, ancillary system, bodywork, your expense sheet, how many hours you worked on your tractor, so your hour logs, your discovery essay. So it goes to, it's about 12 sections. And you're just talking about what you did through each section and what you did and what you learned from it. And usually in your end discovery essay, that's where you talk about, hey, this is what I learned and this is what I did.
We were talking earlier and you were joking. You said, I brought sunglasses just in case, you know, you got emotional or something. And I have to imagine, I mean, I've worked on small projects. I mean, say, you know, hanging a picture and get frustrated, right? What were some of the problems that you went through during this project? What was unexpected?
I mean, this project was, I mean, definitely different last year's. I mean, I went through a whole, I mean, last year I knew a lot about body work, but I did not know nothing about mechanics. So this year I'm bringing in the body work and mechanics into this. And you saw the tractor, so it's pretty big. So going through all of that. So we're talking about having to deal with a machine that's probably 70 years old, that it's every night you're working on it, and sometimes it doesn't want to cooperate. You have that issue. You have the issues of some people don't want to support. Some people don't support you in this, and or they make it hard to support you sometimes. So it's just, there's a lot of emotions going into one. And finally, when you get here, you know, your dreams are true. Like, hey, you made it, and this is where, like this is where I start to cry. Yeah, it's good.
It's interesting because obviously there's the tractor itself, which is the point of doing this whole thing. But that's not what you're judged on exactly. There are, like, I think, three different components. What are those three components?
So you're judged on the tractor itself. So how good the tractor operates, how good it looks as you want to make it look as close as it did as it came out of the factory. So they're judging on how good that was, how good it looks from factory image, how it operates. Just so they do the overall, like, hey, this looks good. Like, this is how it should look from factory. Then you have your book section, where it has to have all 12 sections. Like I said earlier, it's an entire book, usually about 70 pages to about 100 pages. So you're judged on that as well. And then you're judged on your video. You have to make a video at home of a 360 view of the tractor, a 2-minute video, a 360 view around it, starting it from the driver's position, doing all the gauges, that all the gauges work, your PTO works, your power takeoff, your hydraulic system works, and then just driving it through first, second, third, fourth, fifth, and reverse.
Okay. And then were you present for when the judges were there?
So I am present. So the book you have to turn in the book July 6th. The day you have to present your tractor to the judges, July 16th. So you get to work on your book for that time. And then from July 6th, you have to turn it in, and then the judges get to see that section. And then the judges, you also have to, on July 6th, you also have to turn in your video as well. So those two, you don't get to see that part because they do that judging on a different scale. And then you have to, then you're judging that, you're there for the judging. You have to turn it on in front of the judges. So I'm there for my 15-minute presentation, and when I get to turn it on for the judges.
Okay, so did you hear any of the comments that the judges had to make on the tractor?
So not yet. You can see them, like, when they're walking around the tractor, and like they're, you can see them like, hey, this looks wrong, or like they start messing around. So you could just tell. But usually during the questions, they tell you some more, but they don't really give you anything till like the very, very end.
And I think a big component of this, it seems that communication is a big part of it. You have to deal with all sorts of people throughout this process, mostly adults, I assume, you know. How important is communication in this work that you were doing?
Communication is a very, very big thing because I'm talking. So this year I had body work. I had body work help. I had engine help. I had a whole lot of help. So just making sure that everything lines up is very important, because if you don't talk to someone the day you're supposed to talk to someone or the day after, I mean, that can make a very big difference between the entire restoration. Because if you don't go out there and talk to people and, like, hey, give out your number, you're probably not going to do very well.
I guess everybody has a number of how many hours they are into the project. Do you have a number?
So I have, on my record book, it says 262 hours and 42 minutes. Even after I turned in my record book, I was still putting in hours into my tractor because there was still some small issues that were going through it. So the final number, non-recorded, is probably 310 hours.
Oh, wow.
No, it's all.
You guys get judged tonight. You find out whoever won, you know. Everybody, they lined up the tractor so everybody can see them tonight. What's the future for that tractor? Where's it going to end up?
So this year, this tractor, it's right now. So after it's done here, it's probably going back to my house. I still have some things to fix up, you know, some small leaks and all that. But after that, I want to put it to work. The whole point, purpose of it was to be a working tractor and to plow the fields, do all that. So get it to work. Or if not, usually my dad's friends with wine owners, and it goes on display at wineries like Oso Libre or Farm Supply by Target here.
I want to thank you for taking time out of your day to come and talk to me. Good luck with the judging.
No, thank you so much. I appreciate it. And thank you guys. Thank you everyone that's listening, and thank you to everyone. And have a nice night, guys. Appreciate it.
Ulysses Tractor did not place in the top three at this year's J.B. Duer Tractor Restoration Awards, with Elijah Smith and his 1929 McCormick Deering T20 taking top honors. Elijah's T20 is a crawler which sports tracks, much like a tank, rather than wheels. In fact, the T20 was omitted from the tractor procession, as the tracks would have likely damaged the blacktop roads at the fairgrounds. Now again, if you'd like to see photos of the tractors and the restorers, we always have photos at calcattlecouncil.org. Also, J.B. Duer Tractor Restoration Program also maintains a Facebook page with pictures and additional information. Kiara Starnetta is in her second year of raising cows for auction. The animals are judged and then sold at auction, which is a process that takes a number of days. So Kiara spends a chunk of her summer break caring for her animals at the fairgrounds. We sat down to chat so I can learn more about what's required to get the animals prepared for the fair. We should get a few glossary items out of the way prior to the interview. Here's a little primer in some ranching vernacular. It's concerning the difference between a cow, bull, heifer, and steer. I always assumed that any animal of the Bos taurus species could be referred to as a cow. This is not the case. A cow is a mature female that has produced a calf in her lifetime, where a heifer is a female that has yet to produce one. A bull is a mature and intact male, where a steer is a castrated male. After castration, the steer won't exhibit a bull's physical characteristics or attitude, and steers are commonly raised and sold for meat.
Hi, my name is Kiara. I'm 11 years old. My 4-H advisor is Peggy Toole.
Can you tell me exactly, because no, people can't see, where are we right now?
At the California Mid-State Fair in Paso Robles.
How many times have you been to this fair?
Since I was probably 4.
Okay. When you come to the fair now, does it feel like you're doing work, or is it fun, or is it both?
It's both.
What's the work part?
It's just to keep taking care of my animals, even if there's no show, or just to make sure they're doing good throughout the day.
A lot of people aren't familiar with 4-H, and I don't actually know a ton about 4-H either. My understanding is that there's certain animals that you can bring. You can't bring, you know, elephants and things like that. Yeah. And also there's age restrictions, right? Like, you couldn't do this at a certain age. So do you know what the age restrictions are? When are you allowed to start?
You have to be 9 as of January 1st.
At that point, can you bring any animal you want, or is there restrictions?
You can't bring, like, there's pretty much any animal that's at the fair right now.
What are the animals that you're able to bring and auction off here?
Like steers, cattle, pigs, sheep, lambs, goats, all kinds of stuff like that.
Okay, and you can choose whatever you want, is that right?
Yeah.
They don't just assign it to you.
Yes.
So how many years have you auctioned animals off here then?
This is my second year.
How did last year go? What animals did you bring, and how did it go?
I brought a steer and a heifer, and I think I did pretty good.
Did they have names?
It was Phoenix, my steer, and my heifer's name was Betsy.
Okay. And so when you brought them to the fair, and then when you left, someone else took them home?
Yeah.
Okay.
Except my steer, he went off to market.
And what does that mean?
That means he pretty much goes to a butcher and then gets killed. And then he will go to whoever brought him so they can eat him.
Okay. And that's another question I had, because you're 11 years old, and I think even if you talk to some older people, someone was to give them a calf, yeah, right? And then, because they're adorable, right? And then you raise them, all the, you know, they get big and they get fat, and then you sell them, and you know that you're selling them to go to market. Would you say that these animals are pets or are not pets?
They could be both at times.
It doesn't bother you when you sell them? Is there a feeling of accomplishment? Does it feel good when you sell the animals?
Yeah, but like, you can get sad too at the same time.
For this year, what are you bringing to auction?
A steer and a heifer again.
And what are their names?
Felicia and Tucson.
And you're the one who names them, yeah?
Yeah.
So this year, what day are you bringing the animals in?
This Saturday.
They come this Saturday, and do they auction this Saturday?
They auction next Saturday, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, really? So there's they kind of live here for a week.
Yeah, pretty much.
What are your responsibilities when they're here?
Just to make sure they have food, to water them, and walk them and wash them.
And do you wash them prior to the auction?
Yes, you have to wash them, and then you can blow them to make sure they're dry.
Do you do that?
Yes.
When you guys do the auction, do you walk the animals around, or someone else walk them around?
You have to walk them yourself.
Okay, so that means their halter broke, is that,
yeah,
that right? Mm-hmm. And can you tell me what that means?
That pretty much means that you can put a halter on them and walk them around in the show ring and be able to show them.
And that's not normal with a lot of cows, right?
No.
They have to be raised.
Yeah. You raise them and just slowly get them used to them.
So do you remember when you got these two cows?
Well, my heifer was out of my own herd, so I've had her since she was a calf. And same with my steer. He was out of my parents' herd.
Are they automatically turned into bottle calves?
No, not. They stay on their moms. The only time they turn into bottle calves are when they lose their moms or something. So that's usually when that happens.
So feeding with the bottle isn't part of, like, creating a bond with them or anything?
No, not necessarily.
by auctioning them, you're actually selling them for money. Is that right?
Yes.
You don't have to answer this because it's kind of a private question, but what do you do with that money? Do you buy more cows?
I put it in my college fund.
Are you always going to do a steer and a heifer? Is that kind of your...
Yeah, I don't really plan on showing any other animals. I like cattle.
Do you guys have any other animals that could be shown, like on your property or anything?
We have chickens that could be shown. That's kind of it. We have dogs, too, so...
They show dogs here, too?
Yeah, there's a dog show that goes on.
In regards to when you bring the cows in and they're inspected or they take a look at them, what are the sort of things that they want to see in those cows that make them better than other cows?
Usually they would like to see how they're... kind of how they look and how they're fitted in their body shape, like on the tail head and especially like in the shoulder and stomach and stuff. They want to see how that looks and see if it's like well rounded.
What does that mean to someone who is to say buy the cow? What does it mean to them that they're better at doing something?
Sometimes it can mean a mixture of different things.
Do the steer typically get processed?
Yeah. So when they're looking at the steers, they want to kind of look more like at the cuts of beef spots. So like the brisket and the loin and ribs and all that. They want to really look at those places to make sure, okay, and try to figure out what kind of meat they have, make sure it's nice and tender, try to figure all that stuff out.
Does it go to a beef plant and just end up somewhere, or does the person who buys it typically process it and they eat it?
What happens is they all get shipped on a trailer up to a place where they get butchered, and then later, a couple months later, usually the people come and pick up the meat from that place.
But it's usually the person who bought the cow at here at the fair?
Yeah. It's usually just... they get shipped off all to the same place.
Okay. And then, but the heifers, there's something different that happens with them. What happens with them?
With the heifers, usually what they do is, so people buy them and then the people take them home that day or the next day or something. And then they take them and then they go and have a baby. So then they just keep going. So they don't go to the butcher.
Okay. So in this case, you'd probably want to be a heifer and not a steer.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Thank you, Kiara.
Thank you.
If you're interested in visiting the Mid-State Fair in Paso Robles, well, you're too late, as it ended on July 30th. But I encourage listeners to visit the fair next year. It's endlessly fascinating and in a beautiful part of the state. If you want to follow our travels, we have an Instagram account at Cal Cattle Country. And again, you can also see a gallery of our photos at our website at calcattlecouncil.org. We love feedback, and you can always send any of it to ryan@calcattle.org. We'll be back on the 14th of August. Thank you for listening.